I have been thinking of late how much we, in seeking after holiness, which has been our emphasis, could be depending upon our flesh more than upon the Holy Spirit. And that could be the reason why we never seem to break through. We never seem to come into that life that the Bible speaks about. We're all familiar with the verse that we often quote in this church, Romans 6:14. Sin shall not be master over you, for we are not under law, but under grace. Now, I think some of us read it like this. Sin should not be master over you. You see the difference? Sin should not be master over you is the way I think most or many of us read it. That is a command. Sin should not be master over you. Sin shall not be master over you is a promise. And the difference between a promise and a commandment is a promise is what God promises to do for us. And a commandment is what we have to do. And I really believe that that is the problem with some who are still struggling and defeated. And the rest of the verse makes it more clear. Sin shall not be master over you because you're not under law. That means you're not going to be trying to overcome sin by your own struggle. That's the meaning of law. But you're under grace. That grace is going to help you to overcome sin. I want you to think about that. I want to speak especially to those who, like Jesus said, come to me those who are weary and heavy laden. Are there people here who are weary and heavy laden after years of struggling to overcome sin? Whatever, you know, the Bible speaks about the sin which so easily besets us. And I think all of us can think of one sin that very easily besets us. It could be different with different people. It could be anger, very often. It could be sexually lustful thinking or sexually lustful habits, or it could be discouragement, which is also a sin, because the Bible says we have to rejoice in the Lord always. So think of that which sin which so easily besets you. You know, in Hebrews 12, it says about the sin which so easily besets us, which we must cast off. If you are to run the race looking unto Jesus. And so, if you are weary and heavy laden, not if you say, yeah, it'd be a good thing if I could get victory. I mean, I'm not all that keen on it, but I'm not really weary and heavy laden, but I think it'd be a good idea if I could get victory over sin. I'm not speaking to those. Jesus is not inviting such people. He's inviting those who are weary and heavy laden, or like I say, sick and tired of being defeated, and wondering why. You've been trying to claim Romans 6:14, but reading it as sin should not have dominion over you. Well, if you're weary and heavy laden, the Lord invites us to come to Him. The other person the Lord invites to come to Him is, the first verse is Matthew 11:28. The second one is John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come to me. See, those are two very important verses. Who does Jesus invite to come to him? Not everybody. Those who are weary and heavy laden. And because they are weary and heavy laden, are thirsting. Because they are dry. thirsty is a man who's dry and he's longing for a drink of water. And then in that passage, Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit. Water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So those who are longing for the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit, and not just longing, but thirsting, Jesus says, come to me. Not those who say, well, I think it would be a good thing if I could speak in tongues or be filled with the Spirit. I mean, it's not a great urgency. Maybe next year sometime. And I've got other things to do. I can't be seeking this all the time. He's not inviting you. It's those who are thirsty. So it's only a certain category of people I've discovered through the years who really enter into this Spirit-filled life of overcoming. And not only overcoming, but empowerment for service. It's open to all of us. But not everybody enters in. Most Christians never, never enter into this life even before they die. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, if that was the old covenant, I could understand that. That they couldn't enter into it in the old covenant because there was no such opportunity under the old covenant. They were under law. They had to just keep struggling till they die. Never get victory and die. And the best of them, whether it's Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, he died wondering, is Jesus the Messiah? In prison. That wasn't the best way to die anyway. David died not forgiving someone. Moses died, and his last act was an act of disobedience to God, striking the rock. But they were under law. But when you think of people in the New Covenant, people like Paul towards the end of his life saying, I've finished my course, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and there's only a crown of righteousness waiting for me now. No regrets. I mean, you can't say that Paul didn't wish that he had been converted when he was 5 or 10. He was converted when he was 30. So, how does he say, I finished my course? Can you live as a non-Christian? Not only a non-Christian, Paul was against Christ for 30 years, killing believers and imprisoning them. None of us have been so bad. And mess up 30 years of his life like this and still say, I finished my course? See, that's the wonderful thing about grace. That God who sees the future, it's very difficult to explain this. Because in mathematics, if there's a big problem you're solving, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 15 steps before you get the answer. If you make a mistake at step 2, you'll never get the right answer. If you make a mistake at step 14, you won't get the right answer. So we think that if I messed up my life somewhere earlier on in my life, I can never fulfill God's will. And God doesn't work according to mathematical rules. Because if that were the case, Paul's first 30 years was wipe out. How did he finish the course? Think about that. He says in 2 Timothy 4, saying, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The reason is, that God in his foreknowledge, he looks into the future and he knows that many years we are in ignorance. And this wonderful verse which I've often quoted, and if you don't know it, you must learn it today. Acts 17:30. Don't forget the reference. Acts 17:30. The times of ignorance God overlooks. He overlooks the times of ignorance and commands people now to repent.